Oh, my goodness.
Joe Adams.
There's not a backup in the country that can throw a ball like that.
Wilson will keep it. Nobody expected that.
Wilson to the end zone. Touchdown. Charius Wright. Wright on the money.
Tyler Wilson going for the home run. Wilson. Touchdown.
Tyler Wilson as we come back to live action. Pass is caught. Touchdown.
This is former Arkansas quarterback Tyler Wilson, and you're listening to The Morning Rush.
Welcome into hour number three of The Morning Rush. Going to the phone lines and welcoming in our buddy, Tyler Wilson, former Arkansas Raider back, former Greenwood quarterback here into the program. Tyler, you and I were texting yesterday, and I was listening to the Hog Pod, and I had a little PTSD because they were playing Greenwood highlights back in 2007, and unfortunately, for the listeners that don't know, you and your Greenwood Bulldogs kicked my Little Rock Christian Warriors' butts in that state championship game. So really kind of brought me back to that moment. But good to have you on this morning, man. Thanks for making some time for us.
Well, I appreciate you having me. I know it's been a crazy 3.5-4 months here. I don't know what the heck you guys have been talking about, but I commend you for trying to to battle through the crazy times and still talk sports and whatever else there is to talk about out there. But it's hopefully we get through this and have a season and we can enjoy talking a little bit of football.
Tyler, you were on vacation about a week or so ago. Where'd you go, man? Did you do a little fishing? Well, kind of what went on down there?
I think I've been on vacation for the last 2 or 3 months. It's interesting because, I did get down and went to Florida for a couple of days and that was nice, but it's a hotbed for the virus down there. So I got out of there quick and came back home and there's been a couple lake weekends. I've enjoyed being out at the lake a little bit this summer and then trying to get some business done in the meantime, as much as you can with everybody kind of being out and remote and a lot of the unorthodox natures of business now. So,
yeah.
But Florida was great and got out on a boat, caught a few fish and played a couple rounds of golf while I was down there. So always good to be in a 30A area.
Have you figured out what Zoom is yet? Figured out how to use that?
Technology is amazing how it's bridged the gap between, all of the business facets, but Zoom and all these online where you can basically virtually be involved within any facet of the business is fantastic and it's the new normal.
Yeah. Have you thought or tried to imagine what it'd be like to be up there right now as one of the athletes and be in the situation with new coach and going new coordinators and going through this process right now with so many uncertainties, not even first of all, knowing whether the season's going to go off as planned or how many games you're going to get to play. Have you tried to imagine yourself in this situation and what it'd be like?
I have. I've almost thought about it more as a coach. How would I try to train athletes or how would I handle all the things that need to be handled in terms of keeping that team together while you're under all of these restrictions that are a challenge, and especially, for some of the younger guys that are trying to learn the system and get installed and become familiar with everything, it's a challenging time. And I think there will be programs that come out on the positive side of this. Some programs, just like anything, adapt a little bit better than the next, and some staffs will embrace the changes just a little bit better than the next. And it'll be really interesting to see who has benefited from being and communicating with this that others maybe haven't. So
talking with good. Sorry, Tyler, go ahead.
No, I just said I think it'll be interesting.
Talking with Tyler Wilson here on The Morning Rush. So Tyler, kind of to Tommy's question, if you were on campus, if you were playing right now, we've seen some people come out and say that college football players shouldn't play this season, but the majority of student athletes, whether on campus at Arkansas or across the country, They want to play their fall sport. What would your mindset be heading into this season with everything going on with the coronavirus right now and how you would approach it and if you'd want to play?
Well, it is, you're battling a lot of political jargon and I guess frustration from a lot of different aspects of this too. There's opinions from a lot of different people and something that you have to be very, very aware of and respectful of in the current climate and landscape of what we're in. And, you know, I wish that I could tell you that, I had some of the answers and knew whether it was going to exist or not, but no one knows and everybody's got a different opinion on it. And I never, a couple years ago, when I was on the show day to day, you know, what I voiced was that, you know, it was Missouri a few years ago that there were some players that, you know, kind of stepped aside and said, we're not going to play. We're going to be advocates for a cause. And I on the show talked about how powerful the players and how strong one really, it could be an offensive line room, it could be a wide receiver room, it could be a quarterback room, or just a few players on a team that with their voice say we're not playing, and how much that would disrupt the entire football season just on one team, because now you've got one team that's basically irrelevant. And I think we stand and look at a time where you fast forward from some of those comments and some of where we were just a couple of years ago and where we're at now, and you're going, oh my gosh, now we see how devastating, you know, a stand could be from any individual in college football, and not, you know, more importantly, any team that takes a stand. So whether that's the virus or any other reasons for not taking the field on Saturday, I think you're seeing, you know, really where the power of college football plays.
Tyler, you bring up having a voice, and I remember when I first started in this industry, I had to tell my dad, whether it was on social media, whether it was whatever, that there's going to be people that don't like my opinions, attack me personally, whatever. The guy, the former face of the football program, is a guy that still has a relevant voice when it comes to talking college football or just in the state of Arkansas. How frustrating is it when someone misconstrues what you said or misquotes you or doesn't give the full context of what you're saying about a particular topic?
Well, I guess I sent you a text yesterday and that probably ignites a little bit of that question. But if you're referring to the hog pod, which I did with Bo Mattingly a couple days ago, and thought, you know, Bo does a tremendous job and his staff do a great job of, I think, telling stories about past players and athletes that hit home and are nice pieces for the fan base to listen to. And, you know, I felt like Bo did a fantastic job with that. And as I listened back to it, I think it was well represented. However, you know, there's other, you know, and you only have an hour on there, and I think he condensed it to what he could do with it. But, you know, I've got a whole other aspect of my life that I've moved well beyond what you listened to in the podcast and what happened in 2012. That's a little blurb in my life that has been, you know, an education, but that's not what I live on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes I wish that maybe some other things were discussed beyond that maybe give a little more accurate representation as of my today life. And following that pod, I know there's not a lot going on in sports right now. And so I did get a few articles that came out that I felt were completely unfair and unrealistic as to the reaction to some of the things that I divulged on that were clearly not representations of what happened.
So Tyler, let's talk about what you're doing now, doing commercial real estate back in my hometown city of Little Rock. kind of, I don't know if I've ever heard this story and how you got started on that. I know as a visible guy in this state, it's probably a little easier pathway for you than others. But, man, how did you get started on real estate of all things?
Well, and I guess it's partly my fault because I do keep kind of a quiet, under the radar presence as to what I discuss and what I'm involved in there. And so part of that's probably my own doing, but I've been in real estate for 5 years and I'm absolutely loving, enjoying what I do, even in the challenging times that we're going through right now. I joined a group in Little Rock in 2016, and we've done a significant amount of things in regard to being involved in the development side of our state, which is great. Whether that's a project that we just completed in Northwest Arkansas that actually have worked together with the Razorback Foundation and took a property there on the old Clarion Inn that was kind of a focal piece when you come into town. It's the entrance to the city, and we're able to turn that into a beautiful hospital. And there's projects like that I enjoy working on every single day and being a part of, and looking for opportunities to enhance and create for our state. It's been fantastic.
What is it about that particular kind of work as your life matures and evolves? What is it that drives you and inspires you? What is it when you get involved in a project that fires you up still?
Well, I think the creativity to it. You know, what's fantastic about business is there's a lot of similarities. There's a scoreboard in a lot of ways, like sports. Yeah. And you know, that's a way to keep those juices flowing. And it's a competitive industry, and there's always a challenge. Whether that's construction prices yesterday that come in 20% higher than you think they are, and Where can we save? Where can we cut costs? And can we keep the project afloat? And it's working all hours of the night. It's yelling. It's screaming. It's kicking. There's always a boogeyman around every corner. And so you just gotta continue to grind. And there's always there's risk involved in everything that I've been involved in. And that risk is exciting. And there's a potential reward, and so all of those things I think are exciting because you're not just beating the clock every day, and you don't just have one task. You've got a whole lot of things you're juggling, and that's exciting to me and fun and chaotic sometimes. But it has so many similarities to sports.
Yeah, life would be pretty boring if you didn't have something that kept you up at night, wouldn't it?
That's right. If I didn't have something that didn't give me gray hairs, then I'm probably not doing what I want to do.
How much of you? I know you're still a student of the game, and me and you have talked about this many times on and off the air. You still like to study football. How much have you looked at what Kendall Briles likes to do? What do you think this offense is going to be about when it actually has a chance to get on the field, to breathe and mature someday?
I've always been a huge fan of what Kendall Briles has been able to do, especially, with what he and his dad did at Baylor and what they were able to create football-wise. And with that offensive philosophy and scheme, he's no doubt a value in the quarterback room and drawing up plays. I mean, he's one of the good ones at it, and it's not far from what I like as an offensive philosophy. I've always been an advocate for that wide open game that puts the ball in the quarterback's hands and gives us an opportunity to score points, and he'll certainly do that. And from that perspective, I don't think Chad Morris ever got to do what he really wanted to do, and he really never showed signs of what we all hoped that we would even see as an offensive philosophy. It was like it was stuck in neutral. I'm hopeful that we can see some electric stuff from Kendall Briles and what quarterback he chooses and where they go, whether that's Franks or whether that's Jackson. I mean, I think there's Jefferson. I think there's KJ's a unbelievable talent that's got the frame, but you've got some bodies and some guys up there that are absolute athletes. And I'm excited to see what one of those guys looks like in that system.
When the fans hear the term or the phrase "veer and shoot," when you hear that, what should fans think? What should they visualize? What does that mean to you?
One more time on that.
Veer and shoot. We've heard Kendall describe the offense or his offensive philosophy as veer and shoot. What does that mean when you hear that phrase? How do you describe what the offense will look like under a veer and shoot philosophy?
Well, I think he's describing, you know, kind of a lot of the shotgun and misdirection, old school philosophies of like, you know, the triple option game, along with throwing the ball down the football field and being creative. And I know that sounds in a lot of ways kind of similar to what Chad was talking about, but you know, it definitely gives a quarterback that has an athletic base an advantage when you're running that offense. And you go back to thinking about some of the quarterbacks that Kendall has brought along and what they were doing at Baylor with Robert Griffin. And I mean, that's, you're like, wow, that would be a lot of fun, right? If you could plug that body and that frame and that mind into what you're doing, that would be pretty phenomenal. So I think that's what he's saying. In a lot of ways, it's not much different than what Chad was trying to do, maybe a little bit. But I think you'll see that up pace. You'll see that quickness and the quarterback in shotgun primarily. Really using some of the athletic ability that they have at the quarterback position.
Talking with Tyler Wilson here on the Morning Rush. Tyler, Tommy and I were debating earlier kind of the decisiveness of the quarterback. If the QB starting position is locked up or if there's a push from Malik Hornsby or KJ Jefferson. I know you pushed Ryan back in the day and then you eventually assumed the starting role and had it in 2011, 2012. Man, from your perspective, how do you balance the offensive coordinator looking at the quarterbacks when there's one guy that you would really like rather to take over, but you also want the guys behind him to push him as much as they can, kind of like you did with Ryan back in the day?
Yeah, you know, the culture of the quarterback room is interesting. I think that there's kind of two schools of thought, and you'd love for all the guys in there to get along, but you know, I look at some of the greatest quarterback duos of all time. Let's go back to Joe Montana and Steve Young with Bill Walsh. Those guys didn't exactly like each other. and they went back and forth. And, you know, if you hear Steve Young talk about Joe Montana and Joe Montana talk about Steve Young, they're cordial and I think they respect each other, but yet, at the time, Bill Walsh used those guys as ammunition against each other to create competition. You know, you go back to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, there's a great example of two competitors that are in a room that just they to this day, you know, they kind of have a little bit of whatever it is against each other. Not again, they respect the heck out of each other, but yet there's that competitive aspect, and there's no question that, you know, Brett Favre being there helped create a little bit of Aaron Rodgers. But there's also, you know, on the flip side of that, there's a little bit of Steve Young creating Joe Montana and vice versa. So, and Joe Montana creating a little bit of Steve Young. Yeah. So, that mentality that exists in the quarterback room, I think is absolutely important, not only for the development and evolution of the starter, but also the creation of what you're going to have to replace them when he's gone.
You still got an itch to coach? What would the situation, what would it have to be like? I know you enjoy doing real estate.
We had your buddy Broderick Green on, and he told us that he felt like he just felt like he had to get back. And I know y'all are friends.
A lot of former Razorbacks have gotten into to coaching at a lot of levels this offseason. what would the ideal, what would the perfect situation have to be to lure you into coaching?
Yeah, guys, I don't know. You know, I think I enjoy being around a locker room. I enjoy being around kids, and I enjoy, you know, or even just people my age or younger. I deal in arena in real estate where I primarily deal with a much older population of people. You know, it's and that's, you think about who owns real estate. It's not a 25 to 35 year old. And so, you know, it does make you appreciate those times where you're around that vibrance and that youth and that excitement and all of those things that you don't get in my current world. But on the flip side to that is collegiately, I understand that business as well and the recruiting aspect of that and having to babysit in some ways and then you go coach football in addition to all that. And you know, what you're seeing right now in college football is revolutionary. Players are now going to get paid on their likeness, and I think that's a really interesting facet to see. Maybe who monetizes on the value of the athlete by trying to represent them. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see components of that start to pop up, you know, and how these organizations and each of the schools handle all of that and juggle all of that with their athletes. But you know, there's a lot of different directions that interest me, coaching being one of them, just because it's in the blood and the DNA. I don't see myself doing that anytime soon, other than maybe mentoring a kid or two that I feel like has some potential and enjoy being around them and talking through stuff. But I do think you're seeing a revolutionary change in athletics, especially at the college level, that will make coaching in the long term a really difficult profession.
Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, former host of the Morning Rush. Always appreciate, Tyler, when you give us some time of yours, because I know it's precious. And, look forward to talking to you again soon.
Well, thank you, guys. And you guys enjoy the rest of the afternoon and go get them.
Appreciate it, buddy.